This is exciting to be here. And so I'm just really happy for an opportunity to share with you guys. I want to pray again. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Father God, I just thank you for the chance to just share, God, with my hometown here, share with Calvary Chapel. God, we just pray, Lord, that you would be here with us just in this few minutes, even as I share, God. I just pray, God, that as Pastor prayed, Lord, that you would speak to each heart this night, Lord, that you would. Lord, you designed us, Lord. You knew we were going to be here this night, Lord. And if you want to encourage somebody, I pray that you would do that through my testimony, through your testimony this night, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, this is a lot of people to me. It doesn't look like a little bit of people. I come from a church of 20 people in Mexico, or 20 or 30 people. With the students at the school, there's about 50 sometimes. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about who I am first. I'm Doug Colt. My wife Rebecca is right there, and we have 6 redheaded children. We're usually called in Mexico, we're called the Rojo Nation. So, great, you know, testimony of God's. I like the way that the guy said that gave a, I don't remember his name, but gave a testimony a couple weeks ago. He said, "This is God's testimony. This isn't my testimony," and that's really what it is. It's not what we've done. It's about what God has done in our lives and the ability that He has to transform lives. We are in Mexico right now. We've been there almost 2 years serving the Lord over there, being served by the Lord over there. Amazing story about how we got there. But what we're doing over there right now is we're working with the School of Ministry over there. I actually attended the School of Ministry last year. I'll tell you a little bit about that because that's kind of neat the way that that happened. But attending that, also working with the School of Ministry. My wife's working with the children's program. I'm working with Mexican teenagers. We're both fluent in Spanish now. Our children are pretty well fluent. My daughter, 14-year-old daughter, is probably the best. She's amazing. But we're doing well with that. I'm going into a second year now in Spanish at the School of Ministry, and I'm really excited about that. So that's where we are right now. The School of Ministry in Mexico is in Sinaloa, which is, you know, not that, it's so funny how many people, they're like, "Oh, where are you at in Mexico?" And you tell them, they're like, "Oh, I have no idea where that is." I'm like, 99% of the people. So Mexico is a huge country, but we're in Sinaloa. If you were to go out to the tip of Baja California and then cross that on a ferry and go to mainland, that's where we are. If you entered in at the border at Tucson, you would drive for 12 hours and along the coast there, and you'd be where we live. Really neat there. If anybody ever has an opportunity to get down there, it's more like going to another continent when you get that deep into Mexico. A little bit different than just the over the border experience that many of you probably experience, and those are great too. I've done that as well. But that's a little bit about what we're doing and where we are. I wanted to give some testimony tonight about what God's done in my life and where I came from a boy that was running around in Southern California, grew up down in, born in Santa Ana, but from digging in garbage cans, you know, to kind of just on my own to where I am today and the way that God did that in my life. Broken family, father left when I was 5 years old. Mom was a little bit overwhelmed, working hard and trying to go to school. So I ended up, my sister and I, there was two of us, I ended up kind of on my own and just running around. And when you look at that situation, it just doesn't turn out real good for the most part, usually, unless God steps in, which He did. When I was 10 years old, I actually moved to Chico, California. And for the first time in my life, I was exposed to a family, my aunt and uncle. Maybe some of you might even know them, Chuck and Nancy Freshoff. But they introduced me. I saw for the first time what a Christian family looked like. And I said, "Wow, that's neat. That's different. Never seen that before." And so I began to say, there's something there that I want. When I was 12 years old, I was baptized in the river there by Neighborhood Church. At Neighborhood Church, I attended a fireside meeting there and sensed the Lord tugging on my heart. I said yes to Him and gave my heart to the Lord, however you want to call that. Baptized in the river there a few weeks later, and just a real life-changing experience for me. And then I continued to go down the path of the world, seeking the things. I remember, again, the testimony that the guy shared a couple weeks ago. What was his name, Pastor? I keep saying the guy because I love this testimony. Ben, yeah. That was it. But he said, you know, so now the difference in my life was that I kept sinning, but it wasn't fun anymore. I had this, the Holy Spirit was saying, "That's not what you're supposed to be doing. That's not what you're supposed to be doing." But I had no discipline in my life because I hadn't had any parents in my life, hadn't had any kind of structure. I had a mom that loved me to death and did everything she possibly could, but it was very difficult for her to do that. So I kept living in the world, and things just kept getting worse and worse for me. Addicted to drugs heavily. By the time I was 17 years old, I was actually addicted to crack cocaine, a real bad drug, really takes a hold of your life, and you really don't want anything else except that drug when you're doing it. I remember God spoke to me, and however you want to say that, but I heard it was either my voice or somebody's voice. I was banging on a door one day, and drug people they call it fiending or jonesing. I was a fiend, and I was banging on a door trying to get in because I wanted to get in and have some drugs. My friends were in there, and somehow I got left outside, and I was banging on the door, and God said to me, Doug, you were made for so much more than this. And it was unbelievable because at that moment I smoked cigarettes, I smoked crack cocaine, and God said, Doug, you were made for so much more than this. You're free. And in that moment, He delivered me from crack cocaine. He delivered me from cigarettes. I later went back to smoking a little bit, so sometimes we dive back into that. But I never did that drug again. And in that moment, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I say that because I don't know how that takes place or what happens there. But God, when I was 12 years old and I said yes to Him, He took hold of my life. And even though I was turning away from Him, He didn't turn away from me. And I think we see scripture, throughout the Bible that says God's faithful even when we aren't faithful. I know that there also comes a point where that if you just keep turning away from Him and keep turning away from Him, He can't pull you back. He sure could, but then we wouldn't have free will, would we? But praise be to God because He pulled me back and He said, Doug, I love you still. When I was I had an opportunity to go to India. Just directly after the tsunami. Amazingly enough, we landed there, two other guys, just 3 days after the tsunami hit, and just a life-changing experience. In fact, that's how I ended up in Mexico, believe it or not. Go to India and you end up in Mexico. But a woman there spoke into my life, said some things to me, said that I was going to be going to Mexico, not in those words, but just some events that I knew that was from God. We were going to end up in Mexico. We'd already taken a trip there. I'm trying to jam a whole bunch of information here fast, so forgive me. So if you get lost, just talk to me afterwards. But so what happened is that we ended up in India doing tsunami relief. Just, oh man, thank you. And I know so many people in the United States poured their lives into that and poured a lot of money. And so thank you so much, man. But we got to be part of it right on the front lines there. And it was just a blessing. But she spoke into my life. She said that I was going to end up in Mexico. She said I was going to go through a time of training. And it's interesting because, and that's where we get into this school, because when I went back to my church, and we'd already had our board of elders praying for us. We told them that we felt God tugging our hearts to go into mission, so we were all praying together about this. And as we presented this to them, and said, I know where I'm supposed to go. I'm supposed to be in Mexico. And they backed us up. I never shared the part that I was supposed to go through a time of training because that was, I'm thinking, how do you share that with them? God said I'm going to Mexico, but He said I need training. They wouldn't be like behind you 100%. I don't know how, God uses your failure. I think that was my pride not saying that. But later realized as He took me over to Mexico, the training was in Mexico because when we planted ourselves in Mexico, we didn't know where we were going. We have a church in Washington that calls us faith missionaries. And because we just went out, we went and shared with them, and they're like, well, what are you going there for? We're like, well, we really don't know. We just, and that's, I don't recommend doing that to everybody, but it worked for us. So God was in control. He took us over there, and we found out a kilometer away from where we had planted, there was a Calvary School of Ministry that was launching an American English program, launching an American program called Adapt Internet. It's the program, or the organization that we worked with is called Adapt International, but this program is called the Adapt Program. There were six other American students along with myself, and I had the opportunity to do that. I would never have been able to do that in the States, raising six children and get that kind of training, quality training. And I just have to brag about Calvary preachers because, who are the best Calvary, or who are the best preachers in the world? It's Calvary guys. I don't know why that is. God just blessed them in that. Hold your head in, Pastor. But they're good. They're good teachers, and so I have an opportunity to do that now. And God's been teaching me how to divide His word and how to present the word of God in a neat way. I should probably give you a little bit of the word of God. Another thing that the prophetess gave me in India. How, do you guys believe in prophetesses? I mean, and that kind of thing still going on? Because I do now. But he, anyway, she gave me a verse, and she said, this is your life verse. And it was, I should know this by heart. Isaiah 54:10. You guys familiar with that? What does it say? It says, for the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love for you will not depart, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord God who has compassion on you. And I saw that. I've seen that more and more as life has gone on here. I said, God, how God took me, even as a child, maybe before I even realized it, and has just had compassion on me over and over and not removed. He's talking to Israel, of course, right there. But you know that when you give your heart, when God calls you out of darkness and into light, you become grafted in as an Israelite. So you can take those promises for yourself most of the time and say, that's me now. That's me now. And so that was a promise for me, and I see God doing that in my life. Am I about 10 minutes now? Am I 15? Okay. What else can I share with you guys? I would love to just talk to any of you if you want to hear more about what's going on in Mexico. We're really just loving it down there. Great opportunities. We were talking with the junior high pastor, Justin, about maybe bringing a trip down there. Pray towards that, you know, if you bring a group of kids. A lot of times having missionaries out there isn't a real... it's kind of a difficult thing for us, but man, the relationship that comes out of it and what you get to bring back home from those kind of mission trips is just unbelievable, especially the young kids. And this is the time to grab their hearts, and Jesus will do that. Rich, this guy that I was really looking forward to seeing tonight, I had a chance to spend a few minutes with him in the park and just blessed our lives. He's a neat guy. You guys are blessed to have him in this congregation. He said something that I want to leave you guys with, and that is that he said that his life really never started. He didn't say it in these exact words, but this is what I got out of it, and it stuck with me. He said his life really started when he stopped living his life for himself. And that's when my life started, too, is when I stopped living for number one, you know. It's real easy to live for yourself, but when you start living your life for God and then doing as he did and start living your life for other people, everything changes. And you may not become a wonderful guitarist. You might not go off to Mexico, but God will do what he says he's going to do. He says that as you join with Christ, you become a new creation, and those old things pass away, and it says, behold, the new has come. And you see those new things coming into your life as you begin to live that way. So I encourage you, live for Christ. Yeah.